The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Hey, it's Overreaction Monday, and I mean it in the most sincere sense. The Cardinals, my Cardinals, are 2-0. We have that to talk about. Jody Jackson won an Emmy again over the weekend. She just keeps cleaning up the hardware. So I wanted to have Jody on. Of course, she follows the Cardinals, does shows on the Cardinals on Fox Sports Arizona. We will have Jody Jackson, multi-talented, Emmy Award-winning host. She will be with us. That's coming up on the show, working on a couple of other things as well. Hope you had a great weekend. I did, because there was so much. We were making up for lost time with sports being gone in June. So when you just sit there like a load, like a potato, and just watch golf and college football and Saturday and baseball and the NBA play, and they're all going at the same time, and it's awesome and it's amazing. And then on Sunday morning, Bryson is trailing, and then Bryson is hitting 350-yard drives. So I try to do that, and I don't even hit it 225 because I blow. I'm not Bryson. He's big. He's strong. And I'm watching that. I'm watching the Cardinals. I'm watching Anthony Davis drill a three. I'm watching the lightning and the stars. I'm everywhere over. I don't know about you. I had no life, really, over this week. I just sat. I'd get up occasionally and try to put something good into me. And that, you know, there was those moments. I think we're all in that space of, it's so nice to have sports back. It really is. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. You know, guys, we're coming up to the end of September, which means fourth quarter is here, which means the end of the year is coming up, which means you have everything in order in your house. Do you have everything in order with your business? Have you looked at your financial situation and the people that are taking care of you as you go in, your drive-throughs, and you walk in? Are you being taken care of the way that you expect to be? I tell you, the Desert Financial Credit Union can take care of you, whether it's the auto loan, the home loan, business, or whatever it may be. Stop in and find out for yourself or go online. Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. Jody Jackson here in a few minutes. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything. You were at the Cardinals game yesterday. I actually want to start on a serious note. To say eerie or bizarre, that would be easy to describe the scene in reading the story that you put out. Now that you have a chance to sit here and just talk about it for a few minutes, walk me through and the audience what it was like to be at an NFL football game with nobody in attendance, because it's the first time that has ever happened.
Imagine going to a closed scrimmage between two NFL teams. That was the feeling. So you're driving on the 101 yesterday, Brad. There's no traffic.
Yeah.
You get off of the 101 and you go down Cardinals Way, and usually there is a stream of cars waiting to go into the media parking lot. There were no cars. None.
Yeah.
The parking lot was empty. The great lawn where everyone tailgates is empty. Getting into the stadium was a one, two, three, four-step process. It used to be a one-step process. It's now a four-step process.
What were the steps?
You had to go through the first tent where you took your phone and you put your phone up to the little, whatchamacallit, and it popped up on the icon on your phone. You had to answer a bunch of questions about COVID. And then you went to another station where they took your temperature. And because the media was walking from the blacktop parking lot into the tent,
you failed.
Like 90 to 100% of the people basically had temperatures.
Right.
So they ask you to stand in front of this fan for like 30 seconds. And then they take your temperature again. Okay, you're normal.
Yeah.
Then you go through the second tent, which is the security check, where you take everything out of your pocket. They check your backpack. Then you go into the will call area. Usually the credentials are done in advance. Now everything is done at the stadium. That would be step three. And then they walk you down a pathway along the plaza. And instead of taking the normal media elevator to get to the press box, you take three flights of stairs.
So you couldn't take the elevator up.
Or down.
And you couldn't walk around the stadium while the game was going on, right?
You were confined to
and for a lot of people, they're like, this has nothing to do with me. Well, I want you to understand that when you guys go to games, when we go to games, there's times I will walk out of the press box and go down, and I will sit with people. I will visit with people. I'll just go down and sit in seats that are empty because I want to take in what the vibe is like. Because you hear some very colorful and creative things defending on the fan bases. If the Cowboys are in town, I definitely want to hear some of the trash talking. I definitely want to. If the Raiders in town, I just want to people watch. You know, so that's the beauty of being able to wander around the stadium. In terms of the game itself, so watching it, I felt bad for Dick Stockton. I was going to play the drinking game of every time he said Redskins that I would take a shot. But I realized, well, no, I need to do my job. And he's saying it so many times, and Brady Quinn's trying not to correct him. And you know producers are correcting him. And Dick Stockton's a Hall of Fame broadcaster. So I'm not picking on him. It's just it was odd hearing that, trying to dance around that. And he got it. The Cardinals are they're 2-0, and it feels like they could be 5-0. You know, when I saw Christian McCaffrey this morning out for Carolina, like, how do you lose next week at home to Detroit? I don't see it. I don't see it. Do you?
No. And McCaffrey's not going to play against the Cardinals the week after next. And then after that, they play the Jets. So yeah. I would be, it's to the point now, Brad, where I would be disappointed if the Cardinals weren't 5-0. And I think it's interesting that the Cardinals got bored yesterday in the second half. They were so dominant in the first half that Kingsbury even said, yeah, we just kind of lost our focus after halftime. Like, what? Are we really to the point now where the Cardinals can get bored? They're beating opponents so badly in the first half?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I took from yesterday, because I'm looking at it from a lens of, okay, so they didn't look good in the first quarter against San Francisco. And then they just pushed San Francisco around, in my opinion. They were the better football team. Yesterday, Washington, from the beginning, it looked like the Cardinals' defense had the foot on the throat. You know, I'm looking at Zane Gonzalez like, okay, if he doesn't get it figured out this week, they signed a kicker last week, he's going to be gone. He's got to come through and do well. So I'm watching special teams. I'm trying to see how they work Chase Edmonds in a little bit more, and Andy Isabella, and he showed up, and Christian got hurt early. And because the thing is, we can be excited here. This is why I call it Overreaction Monday. Because usually, the last 4 years, this team stinks, okay? And so we're sitting here usually saying, man, it's September and they're not good. This year, we're sitting here in September, and it's the only question in my mind, I'm going to talk to Jody about this, is when they hit that adversity, because every team hits the adversity. When they hit it, how are they going to react? They should win at Carolina, but that's one of those body clock games, right? I think that's a 10 a.m. game. And they're not going to have Christian McCaffrey. It's still going across country. It still is that. And then they have the Cowboys, I think, after they play the Jets. And I don't think the Cowboys are anything great. Cowboy fans, I mean, come on. You saw what happened yesterday. Atlanta was kicking them all over the field, and Atlanta's not good. So, you know, the NFC West today is 7-1. That's where the proof is going to be this year. That's it. All these other games outside of their division, they should win.
And so far, knock on wood, they've avoided the big injury. I mean, yesterday was just, you talk about star players going down. I mean, Bosa out for the year. Saquon Barkley gone for the year. McCaffrey several weeks out. The right. Niners had Jimmy Garoppolo probably going to be out for a little bit. It's crazy.
Well, and I'm interested, and it may happen while we're on the air. I'm interested to see the ratings, because yesterday, I would think the NFL ratings are down this weekend. The games yesterday were great. Charger Chiefs game was amazing.
Really good.
And the Sunday night game was awesome.
Yep,
it was like Cam Newton, it looks great, but you have the Emmy Awards on, you have the U.S. Open on, you have Anthony Davis hitting a fallaway three at the buzzer for the Lakers in their playoff series. So, you know, I know that's become something that's polarizing, because there's one side politically, 5 weeks from the election, that believes that everything involving the NFL is bad and evil. And then there's the other side that's like, I just want to watch football. I don't want to get caught up in this. Like I was watching Bryson yesterday, because the Cardinals, to me, it was very evident. They're going to win this game, and I can DVR this and go back and watch it for the show. But I was gripped with Bryson down the stretch. That guy just blew the field out. So it was fun.
He gained some weight during COVID, but it was good weight.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't bad weight.
Where were you 24 years ago today when Arizona State took down Nebraska? And I don't want you to answer that now. I want to talk to you about that after Jody, because today is the anniversary, believe it or not. And I've got stories. I'm sure you have stories around that. I want to get into that. And then some other things going on in sports, including Bryson with the Masters around the corner. Masters now is in November, and other things too. We have Jody Jackson, though, next. She won an Emmy over the weekend. I want to give her a hard time about that and then her view of the Cardinals. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, as promised, Jody Jackson joins us, Fox Sports Arizona. Do you have hardware? Because over the weekend, you won again. Do you have hardware? You have
Yes, and you asked me if I had the actual Emmy Award, and yeah. I do not have the new one yet. This is from a couple of years ago, but I do. So,
well, look at this.
This is an old one, but
yeah. How many of those do you have here now that you won again over the week? And what did you win? What category did you win an Emmy?
It was for Sports Anchor.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because there's been years where, I mean, I think I won one in 06 and then I didn't win again until 10 or something, or, you know, they're kind of, they can be hard to come by at times. Yeah, yeah, very yeah. cherish the award. So
how many of them do you have?
I'm trying to remember. I don't have that many. Some of my colleagues have many, many Emmys. Todd yeah. Walsh, Josh Kelman, the name of Tom Elsner. I think I have five.
Five? Yeah. Will they show up at a garage sale someday, or, you know,
no,
hand them down?
No, that's disrespectful for the Emmy, right?
Well, right. But there's people that have trophies and they don't know what to do with them, because at some point
I don't have that many that I would just be garage sailing them. No.
We'll have more. We'll have many, many more, I'm sure of it. Oh, well, congratulations on that front. Jody Jackson with us for a couple of minutes. Sure. Emmy Award winner again over the weekend. So what do you make out of the 2-0 Cardinals? Because on my end, I see Detroit and they stink. And then I see Carolina, and yes, it's back east, but they're beat up. And then I see the Jets and they stink. So I'm sitting there saying 4-1, 5-0 is just not a kind of sort of maybe possibility here. Like, they should really be, Jody, 4-1 or 5-0.
Well, and because they've played very convincingly, they did against Washington and against the Niners, even though they were down 10-0, once they got rolling, you know, you didn't get the sense that this was a fluke, that this team is winning these games, you know. I mean, in Washington, yeah, frankly, they did cough up the ball a few times, but, you know, they are able to kind of impose their will. And on the most basic level, it is because of Kyler Murray and his ability to run and his ability to throw the ball to a number of people, including DeAndre Hopkins, where DeAndre Hopkins now, to me, the two game changers here are DeAndre Hopkins and now the second year of Kyler Murray, where he looks, Brad, and I'm sure you've noticed this too, just so much more comfortable, so much more in control. When he's running now, it's not like, I mean, it is an unscheduled moment, right? That's like, they kind of like to talk about the scheduled plays and what you plan for. But when he's running, it's with a plan. The blocking seems to be there, and he's just making things happen. And he seems to be dictating it more than just, okay, this is a broken play, and I'm just going to kind of run around. So you're right, I think. And then the defense, I mean, you know, there's a lot of levels to why the defense is a lot better than new personnel that they have. I think what's impressive to me is they haven't had the preseason. And it hasn't seemed to affect them. It hasn't affected them at all.
No more preseason. There's no, I mean, really.
Maybe
Jody,
it's better this way. I don't know.
Maybe one game. But I've said for years the preseason is the biggest waste of time. And it's a ripoff for fans. And there's no reason to have four of those worthless games. One maybe. But with all the injuries that happened yesterday in the NFL, it really is a war of attrition. So why put your best players, your best employees out in harm's way in August for games that mean zero? There's no point to it. And I think the anticipation for the opening of the season, COVID or no COVID, was as high as ever because we didn't have to sit there with the painstaking tooth pulling of August football.
You have some points there, especially for the Cardinals, though, which last year, you know, they hid everything. And they spent time hiding everything. And then when they ran the real thing, it didn't really look like they knew what they were doing, at least in that first game.
It was silly.
Yeah. So, because if you remember that first game and that first half against Detroit, I believe it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And so, for them in particular with what they run, and of course now what they run is kind of out there anyway, but it's been impressive. I do agree. I heard about McCaffrey this morning where he's going to be out. It says multiple weeks. And so that changes things against the Panthers. So it's a very winnable September, early October for the Cardinals.
Jody Jackson with us. When you look at Cliff Kingsbury in year two, all the penalties that have rolled up the first two games, you put that over to the side, because I think those are correctable. I really do. What seems different to you, because you cover this team, you're around this team, you do shows around this team?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on many of the Zooms, you know, all going back to July when they were working out, going back to June, actually. And I think for him, he's more confident. He's more confident in what he's doing. The staff around him, you know, first year, you're always questioning, you know, am I going to be validated? Is this even going to work in the NFL? Mm-hmm. And I saw a funny GIF or something yesterday. It said, like, who knew it would be this? It was of Cliff. And it said, you know, who knew it would be easier to win in the NFL than at Texas Tech? So, you know, obviously, you know, and he had success at Texas Tech before he didn't. Right. But, you know, it's the type of thing where he's bringing a very innovative offense. He is calling some plays that are, you know, I think really next level. You haven't seen a lot of you. I think you really look at what they have in the playbook, and it's got to be just massive, the amount of plays that they can run. Sure. And that they're changing each and every week. And they've added a guy like Strugler, you know, so then you got another dimension to it all. And I think it's going to be exactly what this offense needs, because you can change it up based on what you're facing each week. The players are that much more knowledgeable about the system, being another year in. And DeAndre Hopkins seems to have, you know, found his way just fine, even though he's new. There seemed to be zero acclimation needed there, because as you can tell, he's a very smart player. I mean, when you look at DeAndre and Larry and having those two kind of guys on a field together, just that experience that they have, that's helping. So Cliff has a lot of great weapons at his disposal, and you know, he can do a lot of things, and I think he's showing it now. It's just, is he overthinking at times what we saw yesterday on the 4th-and-1? Is that something that, you know, I think most people can agree that wasn't smart, even though they did convert it. So I think as the games get bigger and bigger, he'll learn, you know, where he wants to deploy those type of situations and maybe do that a little differently next time.
Before I get you out of here, when this team goes through adversity, because you know this, every team hits a stretch, hits a game where it may be injuries, it may be they're just flat, it may be fans coming back at a time when it would be great to play Seattle when there's no fans in the stadium. It really would be. But that may happen at some point down the road. Do you think this team is equipped to handle adversity? To me, that is still something we simply don't know about. The great teams have a way to fight through. If I watch the Saints, they could be down 14. They're fine. If I watch Seattle, they're down. They can hang on and win as they did last night by a yard or two. The Patriots the same way. We don't know about that about this team yet, because they haven't been good the last few years, and Kyler hasn't had that adversity. So do you have a gauge on this team in that space?
I think they're going to handle it pretty well. And I think that is because of the veterans on the team, and that a guy like Kyler is now not a rookie in another year. And so those things that I kind of talked about before, just that much more experience. But you're right, there hasn't been major adversity in the form of an injury, anything like that. They did face a little bit of, you know, when they were up against it against the Niners, you know, they made plays on defense. They made plays at the end of that game, Patrick Peterson, Byron Murphy. That was good to see. Because those were plays that they didn't make last year. They were in games and they were winning games late, and they lost some of those games. So a little bit of a test there, but it wasn't, you know, you're right. They're going to hit some other things. They're not going to, obviously, you know, I don't think they're going to win every game, and how are they going to come back? Right. But it really is. And I think that's why Kingsbury put up the stat of like 3-21-1 in September since 2016, because when you don't build confidence, when you don't know you can do what it is you're trying to do, it builds a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt. And that's the difference this year from, you know, the last four seasons where they got off to a bad start. Now they know, okay, this is working, you know, against the Niners, against Washington. You know, we can build a little confidence on, we know what works now. So I think that that's helpful. But yeah, I mean, stuff like, you know, last year they were behind the eight ball right away with what happened with Patrick Peterson.
Yep.
And then the Alford injury. And this year they had the Alford injury and they went out and got Drake Kirkpatrick. So, so far they've handled the little things pretty well and bounced back from them.
Yeah, 7-1 the NFC West is through 2 weeks. So they're in the no joke division, yeah. That's for sure. One other thing, and I promise this will be it. You are a football mom on the high school level now, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to play on September 30th is what we're hearing.
Yeah, and so I'm just curious, as I am with anybody in our industry, you're putting a foot now into high school football a little bit. Are you enjoying the process? Have you gotten involved? Are you going to be selling water and hot dogs on varsity game nights, as we've all done as freshman parents? You know, tell me about all that.
I know I've been the one buying the water. You know, so last year my husband began coaching the freshman team at Corona del Sol. And so, you know, he was there for the varsity doing some work looking at the defense, you know, up in the press box. And
right.
So I was going to the games. You know, I have not regularly – I covered high school games. I would go to a random high school game here or there. But now, you know, going week to week, and, you know, I don't know about selling things at the concession because we don't know about who's going to be there yet, right? Yeah, we're not even, like, officially let in as parents. But I really hope they're going to let the parents in because, you know, my son's been looking forward to this since he was about 2 years old at Sun Devil Stadium, you know, back then before we were too busy and we used to go to all the ASU games, and he's just loved football and loved playing, and he plays quarterback and he's excited. And they've been working very hard, even when they weren't allowed to do much, you know, they were on Zoom calls together. So it's a neat group. Some of these kids have actually played together since they were like 6 or 7.
That's awesome.
And I'm sure that's the same with every high school. It's not unique to Corona del Sol, but, we're excited. Yeah. So I'll be there with my orange and yellow, Corona del Sol, go Aztecs.
Oh, Aztecs.
September 30th.
Yeah, you have your orange from Miami days, so you just got to throw a little bit of yellow in there and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. And hold up the hardware again one more time, because it's not very often that I can say a multi-Emmy award-winning host, Jody Jackson.
Well, thank you, Brad. You must have one of these or two of these, right?
I have never applied. I have never.
Well, there you go. You have to apply to get in.
Yes. I've never once through all the years, I just do. And I need someone to just say, you guys have some worthy work over here. But no, it's fine. It's great for you. I saw that and I was very excited. So congratulations and thanks for the time.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it.
There's Jody Jackson. And we are back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Jody Jackson. So 24 years ago tonight, I'm in the broadcast booth for KTAR with the late Tom Dillon. And they had me do a little pregame thing, a little halftime thing, but I was not a part of the regular broadcast. Tom did what he did so well for so many years. But as the game progressed, there was the, hey, why don't you go down to the sideline and we'll do something with you, because it looked like Arizona State was going to beat Nebraska. And they did. They used me a little bit. But as the game got down to zero and Amon Green fumbled and all that, it was very obvious what was going to happen. There's a guy that's, I don't know, Eric, he's like 10, 15 feet from me, and he pulls out this knife, like this really long knife. And he just starts cutting out squares of the stadium turf and he's stuffing them in his pocket. And then I'm down on that end where they pull down the goalpost. And the goalposts, the story behind the goalposts was, we found them the next day. They were down in the wash before Tempe Town Lake was built. And we got those goalposts brought up to Monty's for our weekly show with Bruce Snyder. And we had a guy show up and he cut the pieces. I might even have it here in my office. Do I? No, I don't. Why don't I have that in here? I should. So he cut up the pieces of the goalposts and mounted them on a piece of wood, and then had a plaque that said ASU 19-0 and all the details on it. And he sold them. And I remember seeing with Bruce Snyder, the late Bruce Snyder, and he said, "So where's the money from this going?" I said, "I guess it's going to Sun Devil Athletics." That didn't go over very well. It's supposed to go to the Sun Devil football team because everybody was going after money. So I'm in the parking lot. The goalpost being cut up. Bruce isn't very happy. Jake shows up, Jake Plummer. And we had developed a good relationship by then. So we're in the parking lot at Monty's, which no longer exists. God bless their souls for that building and how the building even stayed afloat. And that was everything around ASU Nebraska. We had a show that week with Jake and Bruce Snyder. I think Pat Tillman came by. They were all there, Jared Redman, all of them. And it was Juan Roque. It was just fun. It was festive. It was fun. It wasn't sitting there with 200 characters, showing up one picture of this. It was just so innocent back then. Where were you?
I was in my dorm room at TCU, and I remember the game started at like 9:40 Texas time.
That's right.
And I sat there on a little TV on Fox Sports Southwest, and I watched the entire game, and it ended at like 1 something. It's unbelievable. And I think the best part of that team, Brad, wasn't just beating Nebraska, wasn't just, you know, almost beating Ohio State. There are just so many great characters mm-hmm. on that team. I mean, you mentioned like J.R. Redmond is a freshman. Jake is a senior. Juan Roque, Kyle Murphy, Pat
Keith
Tillman,
Keith Poole,
Damian Richardson,
yeah,
Derek Rogers, Sean Sueda, Steve Bush. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. That team was so good. Like the perfect storm in college football when you get the perfect mix of a really good senior class and then you sprinkle in like some juniors and some really good underclassmen, and it just all comes together. And for the 96-97 ASU team, it's arguably one of the most fun college teams I've ever seen play.
I think what's interesting is where they are in life now. So, you know, we all know what happened with Pat, and we've seen Jake. I've seen Jake in a lens where he had to figure out not as traumatic as a lot of players when they finish their NFL. You know, I use that term lost soul. Jake was not a lost soul. Jake just, okay, I'm going to say no to a lot of things, which was good on his part because Jake is one that will please everybody and anybody. But I think he did hit that space of, wow, I've got to transition into fatherhood now. And man, I should go on television. It's really fun. It's really easy. Well, no, it's not really fun and really easy. You have to work at it. And he went to the Pac-12 network. He did it, saw it, not really his thing. Now he's an entrepreneur trying to do the digital side around high school quarterback development and college quarterback development. And it's terrific to see him do that. Bruce Snyder and I were very close because I hosted his show. And then we got on very rocky terms because I wasn't happy with how things went down the stretch. Bruce did not have, in my opinion, his chops in recruiting as much as he needed to in his last few years. And eventually they parted ways. Bruce and I had a moment when he was honored down on the field, and I was at Channel 3, where we cried together. We just cried together down on the field. I went down there, had my cameraman. He saw me, came over. He was not going to be around much longer. And he just came over and shared a few things, a few thoughts on some stuff that happened between the two of us. And it was very emotional. It was very emotional. And I think that team had a lot of emotion around it. And people, you don't see that stuff. You don't see Keith Poole. Like Keith Poole now has been doing the training. Keith Poole laid a lot out on the football field that may have hurt him long term by being out on the football field.
Sure.
And so I just look back on that night and say, you know, there's teams that, like the Suns were a very special team in 94. I wasn't here in 93 when they lost to Paxson. I got here 6 months later. Something in the Kurt Warner-led Cardinals that went to the Super Bowl. You could see something in the Arizona Phoenix Coyotes when they had Jeremy Roenick and they had Keith Tkachuk and they had some grit, they had Nikolai Khabibulin, and hockey was new into town. And you could see that there was something about them. The Diamondbacks that won in 2001, they had grit guys. They had guys that didn't like each other. They had a guy like Todd Stottlemyre who would have red ass in the locker room, which you need. You need those guys. I don't mean that. Mark Grace would have red ass at times. And so you have to have that confluence of guys all coming together. When ASU went to the Sweet 16 with Frieder, it was Mario Bennett, it was Headache, it was Marcel Capers. You know, there was just a group of guys. And I feel like that ASU team, in terms of football, there just hasn't been that close camaraderie since then. There's fine individual players, but I keep going back to when fans say it's so great we're going to the Sun Bowl to play Duke, or going to the Vegas Bowl to play Boise or Fresno State. Like, really? That's where you guys are now? That's what you're accepting? That should not be accepted. That group would not accept it. And those guys now really aren't happy when the program just doesn't achieve much. It was so special. I'm sure you've covered special teams.
Sure. And, you know, Scott Peters, who you and I are both close to, I mean, he was really the first one back in 2012, 2013 to basically come out and say, it's not good enough. You know, just not. And he pissed off a lot of people down at ASU, but he never wavered on his stance. He never, ever went backwards. And then, you know, you see a couple other players come out and say, yeah, you know what? This just isn't good enough.
Gray Rugemer.
I think what a lot of people forget, Brad, was I believe it was 2 years before Nebraska came to Tempe. ASU went to Lincoln and got just murdered.
77-24.
I believe it was 77-21 or 72-21 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was neat because a lot of those underclassmen at the time that were taken out behind the shed in Nebraska, you know, hey, remember that game? And I'm sure Nebraska came out here like, oh, we rolled these guys a couple of years ago. No big deal. But it was just set up right for ASU that night. And they completely dominated.
A couple of things that we'll get to on the other side, then we'll get out of here to work on TV. But we'll take a break. We'll come back with some final thoughts today. That's next. Okay, a whole bunch of things to throw at you, Eric. Do you believe that this week we will find out definitely a start date for Pac-12 football?
Yes.
And what do you believe that date will be?
I would guess that would probably be in early November. I don't think the end of October is feasible, but I do think in early November, what, six-game season might be the thing?
Do you believe Larry Scott has done enough to be removed as commissioner of the Pac-12 conference?
Yes.
And do you believe, as I do, that Ray Anderson would be a great fit?
Yes, but that would be a huge loss for ASU. And that I'm not reinventing the wheel saying that. But you look at Ray's, and I know you and I have talked about it, and you've written about it. I mean, Ray was a higher up in the NFL. So if you're a higher up in the NFL, you can probably figure out how to run the Pac-12. So
I had somebody yesterday who I respect greatly, and you know this person, who called me and was just vehemently against this, that I have misread Ray, and that if you look at where the budget situation is at Arizona State, that I'm giving him a pass. They're $29 million in the hole this year, which I pointed out, Washington State is over $90 million in the hole this year. This person also said they need someone in the entertainment industry, not somebody that is in the sports business industry. And I actually subscribe to that to a certain extent. That doesn't mean, though, that they're going to hit. I think you have to have somebody that knows football and basketball. Those are two revenue generators. You can bring in a glitz and glam person, and that may be sexy for a few years. I need somebody who's going to be there long term that gets the lay of the land. Ray went to Stanford. Ray has been close with Larry Scott. Ray is close with Michael Crow. I'm not here to decimate Arizona State. I think Ray's done a really good job, and I think he's groomed some people. Rocky Harris is somebody that he groomed, and then Rocky's taken off and has done very good work over in the running world. I think Gene Boyd has done a very good job in growing his chops there at Arizona State. So, yeah, I guess you can make the argument you're hurting, but what's the bigger story here? If you're going to stay in this Pac-12 as we know it, I mean, I heard over the weekend USC is looking at getting out of the Pac-12. They should. Go be your own independent. You really can be your own independent in this day and age. Why do you have to be joined at the hip to a conference? If you're Arizona State, can you go pick up a football game against Oklahoma? Yeah, I think you could. You did it against Notre Dame.
Right.
I
mean,
I just, the TV deal, you're going to only find a better TV deal than the one you're presently in. It's just.
Well, and I do think, Brad, in fairness to Larry Scott, when he took over for, I think it was Tom Hansen, the conference needed a huge facelift.
Yep.
And for the first few years, Larry Scott did a great job just putting his fingerprints all over the conference, but it's sort of been a slow decline since then, and there have been quite a few missteps along the way, and it probably starts with the network and the fact that the distribution is just horrible, and he's seen all these other conferences with their own networks just lapping the Pac-12 over and over and over again. And it doesn't help, Brad, that the conference has been down in football. I mean, they have not gotten to a championship game since, I believe, Oregon played Auburn in 2012.
Well, did you read John Wilner yesterday? The notes that he had. So John had a note yesterday. We've had John on many times, and it was through John Cannizzaro up at the Oregonian, who just crushes Larry Scott every other day, which is fine. He deserves it. But John Wilner wrote yesterday that the ticker on the bottom of Pac-12 Network hasn't been updated in 5 days. That they let go of the person. they had a person to do the ticker, and it hasn't been updated in 5 days. And this goes back to me. I complain about seeing me on the Pac-12 Network. I think it's Doug Franz and Don Bakke and Tim Healy and Danny White, and we're talking about the 10 greatest Sun Devils, and Ted Robinson is narrating it. That thing was shot in 2016. It took like 30 minutes in a hotel in downtown Phoenix. It's not great. And it still runs. And it runs over and over and over. And it's like, guys, I could program that network sitting right here in Gilbert, Arizona. I can go find very talented people to go do your social media right here in Gilbert, Arizona. This is not brain surgery. It's just not.
I did see that the Pac-12 network building is worth like $92 million
The rent they're paying on that. They're renting that.
Oh, they're renting.
And they have Walnut Creek as their corporate office. They have two corporate offices. It's not like, hey, down the hall is the network here. So they have two buildings they're paying on. Plus they're paying Larry over $5 million a year.
That's crazy.
No, I mean, it's just like, hey, let's get a furnace and let's throw a bunch of cash in it. And let's see how quickly we can burn it. It's just.
Well, and especially now, I think the Pac-12 has just been a national pinata when it comes to how they've handled the last 3 or 4 months. So
they're at the back end of the Power Five with the Fun Belt pushing up on their backside. So, all right. Get out of here. We got plenty to do. Good seeing you. It was Eric Sorensen. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He makes this thing go or stop, depending on how much we rant and rave. We're going to head over and work on our content on sports360az.com now. We are self-funded. We appreciate those partners that are with us. You can check out all of their spots and things on the website as well. Have a great day.